T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome in to Cody and Gold.
Are you ready?
You are clear to engage.
Showtime!
On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
And he's just thrown Mike Matheny out of the ballgame. And I think Cal Eldred too. Yeah, I haven't seen this kind of fury from Cal Eldred ever. He is protecting his pitcher, and Matheny is holding him back right now. But this has been Angel Hernandez's history in Major League Baseball. He has a short fuse, and he challenges managers. And Cal Eldred, I have never seen him this angry. Matheny is still face nose to nose with Angel Hernandez. He's been thrown out of the game too. And now Singer's going to get thrown out of the ball game. And Whit Merrifield is holding him back after Singer started jawing at Angel Hernandez.
Here's Cody Tapp and Alex Gold.
All right, here we go on a Thursday, and the wild one last night, to say the least. There's like a 45-minute stretch where Angel Hernandez wanted to make sure we were talking about him today. That's for sure.
It worked. It's going to work, right? I can't believe after all this, we're like, it's Singer versus Bieber, but of course Angel Hernandez behind the plate. He can't screw this up, right? He's just going to let us enjoy a good pitching matchup. Never. Never. He made it as long as he could before making an embarrassment of himself once again.
So we'll talk plenty about him in just a second. And also, what are maybe the bigger issues long-term for the Royals right now? They have lost 4 in a row, yet they still sit first place in a 3-way tie in the AL Centrals. After everything that's taken place in the last couple of days, they still are tied for first place. But something we're really excited about, we mentioned a few days ago, we had something in the works perhaps when we were talking about Bobby Witt Jr., and we're excited to announce the Cody and Gold road trip down to see Bobby Witt Jr. next Saturday, May 15th, there at Northwest Arkansas for the Naturals. And so we're excited to go down there, watch some baseball, and hopefully you guys can join us down there as well. And if you go to our Twitter handle here in the next minute or so, you'll see the link there to enter the promo code 610SPORTS and buy your tickets and head on down there with us.
It's like a little over a 3-hour drive, $9 ticket to watch a baseball game. That feels about as cheap as you can do. And that $9 ticket comes with one choice: Cody Tapp designed Bobby Witt Jr. t-shirt. I really did. And by designed, I mean I just took a silhouette of Bobby Witt Jr. and then made that the eye for the Witt version of it. The shirt's included. If you come down to the stadium, you come watch the game with us, we'll hand them all out before the parking lot, or just, I don't know, whatever bar we go to ahead of time, or whatever bar we go to after, we can wear them. We'll all be rocking our Bobby Witt Jr. shirts because we're excited about the future of the young star for Kansas City.
We all wanted a glimpse of Bobby Witt Jr. No better weekend to do it than next weekend. The Royals are on the road next weekend anyway, so if you're worried about that, no. If you want to go watch someone that hopefully will be on the big league club here in the next month or two or three, well, you can say you got a glimpse of Bobby Witt Jr. in his first week or so down in Double A. I saw yesterday he had his first base hit in his professional career at the Double A level yesterday.
Yep, he did. It was a single in the first, but I want to watch him play baseball. And I know that it might take a few months to watch him in the big leagues, which is why we have planned said road trip. We want to go watch Bobby Witt Jr. play, and I assume you want to come watch Bobby Witt Jr. play too. Plus, it comes with a free t-shirt, so I don't really know what you're looking for. $9 for a t-shirt is about as cheap as you can get. And I'd like to say, solid t-shirt from our friend over at E. Edwards Workwear. Very, very well put together shirt. Better shirt than the quality of the design that I gave you. but a good shirt overall.
Yeah, no, we're excited about it. It's going to be a ton of fun. We've already got our tickets, obviously, heading down there next Saturday. Hopefully you guys can join us there as well. We'll continue to tell you about it throughout the next week or so. And again, if you go to at 610 Sports KC, at Alex Gold, or at Cody B. Tapp here momentarily, in fact, I just saw it pop up, you'll see the link to purchase your ticket using promo code 610 Sports, and you'll want to click on section 105, and we'll have some more details. As you said, there's a Facebook event page we're going to be putting up here momentarily as well, with some details on the meetups for a bar or two before and after, and also, who knows, maybe we'll do a caravan down there if we get enough people, maybe all meeting up before we do that. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that.
I demand, by the way, if we take a caravan, I refuse, like, go to the bathroom before we stop. We're making, this is a three-hour drive.
It's nonstop. It's a nonstop
trip. You could make it without going to the bathroom.
It's nonstop, huh? You go to QT before, load up on some snacks, and then make the drive down there.
Yeah. I don't want you like peeing in bottles or anything. Like, I'm not saying stop if you can't stop. I'm just saying typically my road trip mantra is as far as we can go before stopping. Especially the first trip out. Is that if you're going to say you're going to drive for 12 hours, at least the first time out, I like to get as far as I can without stopping.
No, I think that's
the
normal.
The rest of the way, it's okay. But the first time, I'm trying to get like a good head start on this trip.
Yeah, this is not a bad drive at all. Down to Springdale's where the stadium's at, but Fayetteville, I think, is where we're going to be meeting up with some people as well. So we'll continue to give you more details on that, but it's the Cody and Gold road trip to go see Bobby Wood Jr. down in Northwest Arkansas next Saturday, May the 15th, and use promo code 610SPORTS. Click on that ticket link up on our Twitter account, also up on Facebook as well. But we got to talk about last night. We'll get to the bullpen in a second, but Angel Hernandez is absolute embarrassment for baseball. We've known this for a while. Overall, like, I don't know why I shouldn't get as upset as I did last night and as we all did watching it, because we know Angel Hernandez sucks at his job. That's nothing new. He continues to keep his job for some reason in baseball. He sued baseball fairly recently
and lost it,
but he continues to hold a position that impacts games. Now, I'm not sitting here saying the Royals lost last night directly because of Angel Hernandez, because the Royals also weren't able to handle themselves following those and finish what was a 4-0 lead on Shane Bieber, the reigning Cy Young Award winner. That's what makes it extra frustrating. But man, I think if you're baseball, how do you let him continue to be the biggest stories coming out of series? We have another game today. Who knows what's going to happen today?
He's at third base, so there's less to screw up there, but I don't
give him too
much.
Don't give him too much credit there,
I said,
Cody.
There's less.
But here we are, and this is twice in this series where he's been essentially the biggest story coming out of the game. And last night, of course, it all came to a head with Mike Matheny, and understandably so, and Brady Singer and Cal all fired up and upset about how things had gone. And it wasn't about the balk last night. It was about everything else that had already taken place, whether it was the hit by pitch and New York won't call out their own umpire, and so they're going to side with the umpire. That's why replay is getting worse and worse. And so, yeah, it's just an embarrassment that he should not be a name that everybody around sports knows, number one, as an umpire, and we know because of a bad reason.
It's
series
awful.
After series, man.
It's almost impossible to watch when he's behind the plate. And then he kept doing more petty things, right? Versus just get over it. In the very next inning, then he wouldn't call strikes for the Royals anymore. You're like, come on, man. Like, that's a strike, and you know it's a strike. You can't just change the zone because now you're mad at the Royals. Like, it's your fault. I said this on Twitter last night. I mentioned the show before. Again, if every place you go, everyone has a problem with you. It's not them. It's you. You're the person who keeps causing the problems. That seems like a fairly obvious statement at this stage. With Angel Hernandez last night, it's 1,000% it. By the way, kudos, Brady Singer. Get your words in. Kudos, Cal Eldred, Mike Matheny. You all, more, get your voice heard. Like, watching Singer go off last night, love it. One, we know, like, he seems like mild-mannered, calm, whatever. And then when you see him, like, blow a fuse, like, I don't know, on Rain a few years ago or on Angel Hernandez last night, tremendous.
Yeah, if you did
tremendous last night to watch him. Although I'm, you know, obviously the team like completely.
Yeah,
we're going to
get to that in a second, because that obviously is a bigger problem long term than what Angel Hernandez did. But if you didn't already love Brady Singer, I'm with you. Like, we all sure as hell do now, based on his reaction, which is exactly, by the way, how all of us were feeling listening to that game last night or watching the game last night. I mean, that he was clearly getting frustrated as the night went on. And he was also pitching really well last night. That was what was extra frustrating about it all the way around.
He's getting ready to have, you know, one out, runner on first. Like, it could have just been a clean six innings, right?
Yeah, this was what Mike Matheny had to say, though, on what he saw on that hit-by-pitch. Because that's really, other than the night before where Angel Hernandez already said he was guessing what had happened. Then you have last night the hit-by-pitch, which New York tried to say was hit off the jersey when clearly that was not the case at all.
Yeah, I mean, you guys all saw what I saw. Didn't see it. That's a, you know, you just, you hate when things change the course of a close game, right? Our emotions are already high when we've got a full run lead, and all of a sudden you start to see little things happen. And if you feel like something's going against us, whether it's a balk call, you hate to see something like that called in a game like that, in a situation like that. Did he balk? I haven't even seen it yet. He may have, but same thing, you know, with that hit batsman. It didn't seem clear. The whole thing looked funny. Didn't look right, and I didn't see any obvious sign in the replay, but they've got better looks at it than we do, but it doesn't change your frustration and your emotion level. You know, you can never take that out of the game, no matter how many replays you have to tell you what actually happened. Guys are going to they're going to let their emotions roll through, because this means a lot to us, and you can't help, regardless of what you see, you can't just erase what you feel.
Again, it was all a buildup. Had the night before not happened, and then he came out and his excuse was, it was bright, I guessed. And then he follows it up with the hit-by-pitch call, which was bad, and then it's made worse. Look, now tensions are high. You made a bad call, and now tensions are high because it went to New York, and they didn't even fix it.
Well, because they refused to call out their colleagues. That's the issue.
Correct. And then the balk call. By the way, I think it was a balk. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter in the scale of things that escalated to this point. If you're Angel Hernandez, you had to know how it got to this point. I never see Cal Eldred mad, and he was hot yesterday. I've never seen him animated.
He was the most animated of anybody. It was incredible to watch. I mean,
you're watching Brady Singer outduel the AL Cy Young winner, and then he's got to deal with this nonsense. By the way, you know that I've been trying to get in the jingle game? I made some. Hold on. I know this doesn't make sense. You're like, this is a weird time to mention it.
Uh-huh.
Just hear me out.
Angel Hernandez sucks, get him out of baseball.
Look, I improved some of the previous ones.
I mean, this is way better already.
That was your favorite tone. I just replaced it.
Yeah, but that's the better one of the bunch. All the ones you've done the last 2 days. Now we're getting somewhere with this.
This you can get behind?
Yeah.
Maybe you'll even like the keyboard one you hate so much.
Angel Hernandez sucks in every single way. Why do I have to watch him every single day? While he guesses and prays, why don't we just go ahead and fire him right now?
That keyboard doesn't bug me as much with that.
Yeah.
That's solid. These are better. This is your best work on the jingle so far.
So I should just stick to...
It should be just take jingles.
Oh, that's it. Just like when I have an opinion on something, yeah. I just write it into jingle form.
It's a lot better than when you were trying to do the commercial version of them.
I think they're all pretty good. I have one more if you want to hear.
Okay.
Singer should have punched Angel Hernandez in the face for that call.
Slip up at the end. I love it. Just leave it in there. Why not?
I'm not going to fix it. It is what it is.
Someone says they want to make one of the jingles their ringtone. The Angel Hernandez one. See, before people were trashing it. Now that you got the sports angle with it and Angel Hernandez.
Yeah. When I say Brady Singer should have punched him in the face, I'm guessing he got in 30 games for that probably. Been a bit of a ding.
That would have been problematic. It's a good thing. And he was already starting to walk away. But it's a good thing
Witt
got in there just in case. You never know.
About to ask him about that on Monday.
So that was all ridiculous. And Angel Hernandez is a joke. And we'll see what mess he makes of this afternoon's game. But they didn't lose the game because of Angel Hernandez. Monday, this team scored 5 runs in the 7th inning, the Indians did, for an 8-6 win. Tuesday, they scored 4 runs in the 8th inning against the Royals bullpen for a 7-3 win. Wednesday, yesterday, they scored 1 run in the 9th inning for a 5-4 win. And you're up 4-0 last night, Cody, against Shane Bieber, who Look, you'll be happy to get one or two runs off of Shane Bieber. They got four, and you lose the game. Like, if you would have told me heading in, they're going to be up 4-0 on Shane Bieber, you're thinking, oh, they're going to win this game. But what we have seen is a trend, at least in this series, and they've lost four in a row, and they've lost three straight to the Indians in a key series divisionally. That's why they're now they have a three-way tie in the AL Central. It's been the same problem, though, starting to happen here. The bullpen continues to have plenty of issues. And, yes, I understand offensively they haven't scored late in games either. But that's the bigger problem than even Angel Hernandez being terrible at his job, is that this bullpen has become a major problem for the team.
They have a composure issue, or at the very least, a closing issue. Like, they seem to have a problem putting these games away. And the bullpen is part of that, by the way. The bullpen, who ranks near the bottom of the league right now in earned run average, and then had another chance, even after Brady Singer got out of the game. Like, okay, look, the first two games got away. You got a one-run lead. Not pretending it's not tight. It clearly is. Immediately, Junis gives, you know, like, immediately, they give up a home run for the tie. Immediately, Wade Davis gives up the home run in the following inning in the top of the eighth to go ahead and give up, or the top of the ninth, to go ahead and give up the game-winning run eventually. They were up 3-1 in the fifth on Monday, 3-0 in the sixth on Tuesday, and 4-0 in the sixth last night. Like, and they lost all three of those games. Like, at some point, we got to address the, is it simple as just saying the bullpen isn't doing its end of the bargain? Or is it a combination? Because they obviously scored a lot more runs in the first five innings in the first three games of this series, and scored a whole lot less runs in the later half. That, to me, is what points to the they're not handling adversity well yet. And that might come from just a team that is learning to win for the first time. Like, a lot of these players have been around for a while, and there are plenty of players with experience, right? Like, who have winning experience. Salvador Perez has been on a World Series winning team. Danny Duffy, World Series winning team. Mike Minor has been on winners. Andrew Benintendi was on a World Series winning team. They got like nine players on this team who have been to a World Series. So that's why I'm confused about why they're not holding it together, including Holland and Wade Davis. I think a lot of it is still just learning to do that together. And I think a big chunk of it is the bullpen, if you want the answer. I think they just simply aren't doing their job.
And I know right now they're still banged up. They don't have Zimmer. They don't have Jesse Hahn yet. But Wade Davis, we talked this with Vern yesterday a little bit about where things are at with him, and you know, is he kind of the low man on the totem pole already? This was before last night's game. And then you just look at what has happened so far. Wade Davis has a 7.59 ERA. Last night, we know how that went when he came into the game. He's pitched 10 and two-thirds of an inning, and he's given up 9 earned runs so far this season. Wade Davis, awesome what he, of course, has done for this organization. Nobody's going to forget that. But it seems like it is absolutely time to cut bait on him. And today's not the time to do it because you have a short turnaround. So they weren't going to make any roster move after last night's game because you have a day game today. Like, that wouldn't have made any sense. But I would be surprised if there's not something coming. They got to do some of the bullpen, and whether it's down in AAA. I'm not talking about Jackson Kowar even. I'm talking about Carlos Hernandez or somebody else. And maybe that might even involve Wade Davis, unfortunately, being DFA'd and outrighted there eventually to waivers. Because it doesn't seem like he has it, man.
I think what I've, and look, there's a couple of guys. Wade Davis is certainly the biggest name. He was already, I think as Vern put it last night, lowest on the totem pole. Like, he was already the guy you weren't necessarily trusting in the highest leverage right now, just based on performance. Certainly last night didn't give you any more confidence, even though he struck out the next three batters after giving up the home run. I don't think they're there yet. Like, I don't think they're at the DFA point. But I realize what the issue is with the bullpen. They have plenty of good arms. They don't have any for sure lockdown, it's over arms, except for, in my opinion, Josh Stahmon. Like, that to me is the one where I'm like, I'm getting the goods. Like, I know if Stahmon's coming in and it's a one or two run game, I feel pretty good Kansas City's getting the win. I know there's one example this year where that didn't occur, but that's, you know, that's baseball, not Josh Stahmon. Yeah. Barlow, I used to feel that way about. I just, you know, every once in a while, he just puts up a clunker and you don't know why, and it's not necessarily related to high or low leverage. He just occasionally puts it up, so he's probably next on the list. And then other than that, it's just some good arms who have bad days, and guessing the right order of them hasn't been easy for the Royals, and they've been trying to use them in different leverage spots, but it just hasn't worked perfectly under that system. They're going to have to do something about the bullpen.
Yeah.
Like, sooner rather than later, unless they want to, like, watch, you know, the the number of games above 500 they slip away.
And you feel, you know, last night was wasted because you got four on Bieber and you had a really good start from Brady Singer before things unraveled and got obviously with Angel Hernandez and everything else. And some of the composure was no question lost there and impacted Singer late. And by the way, can't blame him, but that's something he's got to make sure doesn't impact him when time goes on in his career. You got Danny Duffy, who's been your best pitcher, on the bump this afternoon. I mean, you need this
you
one.
You had the one against Bieber last
I know. That's
night.
Why it sucks.
Like,
but I'm not. Here's. Ugh. There are plenty of issues that are developing in a pattern, but I'm not panicking. The reason why is unless you actually believed that the Royals were the best team in baseball or the best team in the American League, then you shouldn't be panicking. They are on May the 6th in a three-way tie for first place in the AL Central.
And I know we would have taken that before the season.
And I understand
it's the most recent play that's frustrating.
I understand they've lost four in a row. Nobody wants to see that. They've had a bad week. Okay, they're below 500 in the last 10 games now because of this losing streak. And I think that's understandable to be concerned, but I don't think anybody should be panicking because we've talked about our win total predictions and everything like that. That's why I haven't wavered from it. Like I think they're going to be better than what I predicted, no doubt, which was 74 wins. But this is why you don't suddenly jump and say, boom, this team is winning 92 games because of the month of April. This is why you don't do it, because this stuff happens. Hopefully they get back on track. But that's why I'm not changing a whole lot of my view on the team based on this losing streak, because hopefully you didn't all of a sudden actually believe that they were the best team in baseball. They were playing like it, but they weren't actually the best team in baseball this year. You don't think they're finishing as the best team in baseball. So there was going to be some regression. They're in a slump right now, and they do need to snap out of it, though, because this month is full of divisional opponents, and you won't be tied in the Central very much longer if they keep playing this way.
If you want to be an optimist, four times in the 2014 season they had losing streaks of four games or more. Three times in 2015. But in 2015, it never exceeded four games. In 2014, it never exceeded five. So, okay, this is about the moment, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's, sure, you can go on losing streaks, but four games, that's a decent losing streak. And it was supposed to end at three. You had the 4-0 lead on Bieber. You had one runner on with one out in the sixth in a seemingly innocuous game. And I know you said, hey, I don't want to say that Angel Hernandez cost him the game last night. He cost him the damn game last night. And look, partially because of their inability
when
to
you strike,
compose.
When you strike out nine times from the sixth inning on, I don't know if I can say he cost them the game. Certainly it impacted Brady Singer, and if you want to say they unraveled from there, like
they
I
did.
Guess
they
and did.
And that's partially they've their fault as a team. They've got to learn to like overcome those things.
Exactly. Oh.
I feel like we're being downers. Can we hear the jingles again?
Which one?
Angel Hernandez sucks in every single way. Why do I have to watch him every single day? While he guesses and prays, why don't we just go ahead and fire him right now?
Yeah. I love that one.
I really like
that's,
that one.
You're kind of painting yourself into a corner here, because now you're just gonna, every big take you have is just gonna have to be a jingle.
You want like, all right, Cody, you've got an opinion on something, let's hear it.
Singer should have punched Angel Hernandez in the face for that call.
Love the jingles, but they didn't lose because of him. I think that's we can say what we want about Angel
it's
Hernandez.
It's such a culmination, but this might be I watched a lot of baseball. You know, I covered baseball for a while. So like I got to guess, over the last 5 years of my life, I've watched 400 baseball games. Maybe more. It's 500 games. I have never seen a 3-game stretch from a single umpire like this ever. It's like he individually, no matter where he's on the field, continues to impact the game. How, man? How? How can you stand in like 8 different spots and continue to have some major impact on him?
It's all happened in one series, but this is who he is. This is, I mean, if you go, whether you're, a Yankees fan or an Astros fan or a Red Sox fan, whatever, everybody knows the name of Angel Hernandez. That's all you need to know. If you know the name of NFL officials and you know the name of MLB umpires, you know it's not for a good reason. Never is. There's people that can name Angel Hernandez, but you can't tell me one player on the pitching staff of the Pirates. Okay,
well, you know Angel Hernandez, and it's not because he calls such a great clean game.
But you know who Angel Hernandez is. Like, we joke all the time about not knowing manager, you know, the names of managers across baseball just because the sport's regionalized. Yeah, you know Angel Hernandez's name more than managers even in baseball, players in baseball.
Angel Hernandez sucks, get him out of baseball.
Nobody would complain about that whatsoever. Hey, coming up next, at what point, though, do you have to potentially make a change going forward? The staff will also get into what Creed Humphrey and Nick Bolton had to say right here on 610.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Grand opening of the all-new FNBO location, now open on Blue Valley Parkway at 119th and Metcalf. And while you're there, look for the Ultimate Fan Display and text in the keyword for your chance to win the Ultimate Baseball Fan Prize Pack, including 4 tickets to see the Boys in Blue versus the Redbirds, mini baseball tailgate grill, and a $50 gift card for your tailgate supplies at your local Price Chopper, in addition to a $250 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors. Stock up on some of your swag. Grand opening of the all-new FNBO location, now open off Blue Valley Parkway at 119th and Metcalf. Short show for us today, just till noon. We'll hand things off to Vern for Vern's On Deck show. Then he'll get you set for the final game of this 4-game series. The Royals trying to salvage one here. It'll be Danny Duffy on the bump, and hopefully the Royals can get out of this 4-game losing streak. We'll talk more Royals baseball, of course, throughout the show, and including right now, because last night, talked about Angel Hernandez. We talked about the bullpen issues, the offense not getting runs late in games, and that's become somewhat of a trend for this team. At what point, though, do you start to get worried that it's more than just players?
I think, look, and players are more responsible than anything. I've made that perfectly clear over the course of time of covering or talking about baseball. But at some point, if we're going to do things like, you know, talk about hitting coaches, and it's too early probably in this season to be knocking that around, but if the Mets can fire a hitting coach because someone's hitting 138, at some point are we going to have a conversation about if we like the job that Cal Eldred is doing?
Now, not after last night, baby. No.
It's after he came out swinging?
I will take no Cal Eldred hate after his terrific ejection last night. None of it. None of it. Don't want to hear it.
He's been the pitching coach since 2018. They rank 23rd in all of baseball right now in team ERA. In 2019, they ranked 28th, and they ranked 29th in 2018. Now, they ranked a little bit better in 2020, a shortened season, mind you, so not as good of a sample size. They were 14th. They average ranking 23rd overall in team ERA. At some point, I understand that it is just, hey, who's he working with? What are the pitchers on staff? Right. Who has he had over this time? Who are the people he's working with? But then the question I ask myself sometimes is who has definitively gotten better? And I think Stamont, right, has gotten better. And I think in the early part of the season, someone might have tossed Jacob Junis out the way, but a lot of that offseason work was related to, like, the cutter and his brother and all those things. And I know he struggled in the bullpen.
But see, that's the problem. It's like, so when does he get credit for that? So, like,
it's a little bit like the quarterback problem. It's like when people would be like, Alex Smith doesn't make anybody better. And I'd be like, well, Travis Kelce got better. And like, no, Kelce made himself better. So there is a bit of a hiccup where you're like, who made who better here? But I have some questions about usage. Like, I have some questions about how they, you know, like the comfort seemingly everyone has, at least at this stage. And at some point, results-based is the bigger
issue.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it's extremely premature to...
I'm not saying I'm there yet. I'm just asking, at what point are we allowed to kick it around?
Yeah, I think we're a ways off from that, if that conversation ever takes place this season, as a matter of fact. Because, again, despite everything that's going on, they are in first place in the American League Central.
Yeah.
You're not making...
Duffy's been amazing.
And so I think it's also that you are asking, why do hitting coaches get changed more often? I think you know that. Just pitching takes longer to develop overall. So you're going to... It's much more likely that teams switch on hitting coaches like the Mets just did. We know the Royals, of course, did that a couple times years ago. So.
Also, hitting takes a long time to change, too, by the way.
Okay, fair enough.
It just seems like we're more willing to just be like, bye, hitting coach.
Yeah,
we fired a hitting coach in the middle of a World Series run.
I understand, but that's my point, though. The hitting coaches get changed more often. Pitching coaches don't. And I feel almost silly talking about it when this team is in first place. And you were even telling me the other day about 2017, 2018 and all this, and Homer Bailey's in your rotation and all this crap.
No problems.
And you were telling me about, well, they were clearly trying to go out and win. So I'm not going to be critical of what happened a couple years ago on the pitching staff when what did you have to work with at that point? Now, year from now, when Singer's been in the rotation for 2 years, and who knows if Bubich is back in the rotation or bullpen, and you've got Daniel Lynch and Kowar, and where we know these guys have the talent and they're not able to develop at that point, then we can, to me, that's a question at the big league level. But I think this is way, way too premature to go there yet.
It's something worth, in my mind, keeping an eye on.
Okay.
I think it's not like this is a short term. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like this just started. Like, he's had now 4 years, 2018, 19, 2020, and 2021. And 2020 was a shortened year, so it's funny. And honestly, this is a funny year. So he's coming off of, this is going to be the biggest challenge for Dayton Moore, for Mike Matheny, and by the way, for Cal Eldred, who's going to have to monitor this entire pitching staff, not knowing when wheels come off, right? Considering, you know, how limited the innings are going to be. But I don't think it's fair to just be like, well, you know, I mean, anytime the hitting struggles, people are happy to bring up that guy, right? People are happy to, you know, consider making a change when you're in a 20-game slump. And they're not in a 20-game slump in the entire pitching staff, but the bullpen has struggled. And some of that is usage. Some of that is, like, we think they've been overexposed, right, due to the depth of the starting pitching, as far as just depth, no. You know, deepness of how far they go in the game, not depth of how deep they go in the rotation. Like, so some of it is there, but I think you're 4 years in and the results say you have the 24th best. Like, okay, well, you're getting ready to have all these young arms. If we're, you know, next year, then look, maybe
that's what I'm saying.
Year.
That's why I think it's way, like, too premature. Let's see what they do when they have, clearly when they start having the talent.
Like, when Bubich got up to the big leagues, things didn't go better. When Singer got to the big leagues, things didn't go good for a while and then eventually did. So, like, does he get credit for when, hey, you know, those first 8 games, and that's how it was in A-ball, AA, AAA, seemingly for Brady Singer the whole way up. He just has an adjustment period. Like, it does seem like sometimes they do a better job at, like, getting the guys ready for the bigs, and then lately when they're getting to the bigs, we're not having quite the instant success. Now, some of that might just be,
I don't know, it's Major League Baseball versus playing in AA.
Absolutely. I mean, some teams seem to make that transition easier than the Royals do. That's all.
I mean, look, if these pitchers are as talented as everybody has made them out to be for the last couple of years, and certainly Daniel Lynch, the most recent to get called up, and he didn't have his best stuff the other day. It was one outing from him. Like, if I think it's more of, let's see these young arms, top pitching prospects in baseball a year from now, if suddenly at the major league level, you don't see the development and growth that people were expecting, then I think that's where you reevaluate at that point in time. But I think it's a little bit of a, quite honestly, overreaction at this point in time, because suddenly the baseball team in the last week or so hasn't been very good. I know there's been issues with the starters going deep in games all the way back to opening day. I understand that. That's a fair point. But just the broader issue of pitching right now, as frustrating as it may be, I think it's a major overreaction to start saying, oh man, is it coaching? Come on.
Like, I mean, we got 4 years of evidence. It's not 3 weeks. It's not because they're in a 4-game losing streak. It's not because, you know, like, it's 4 years of evidence. And their team here, they're winning.
But I disagree about the 4 years of evidence part. Yes, there is, like, factually there are years of evidence, but I go back to what we've discussed with what the last couple of years have been with what the rotation was. They were going and signing Homer Bailey's. They were forced to kind of have Jacob Junis be the number 3 or 2 starter, whether they liked it or not. Like,
they did.
So some of it was a talent level. I don't think you expected them to turn Homer Bailey into this great pitcher.
And Homer Bailey was actually fine here. He was worse when he left here, actually. Like, he might be an example of when it was working. But, you know, like, at that stage, it's hard for me to give credit for Homer Bailey, right? Because he's in the league for 20 years. Sorry.
No, I'm not asking for credit. I'm just saying on the quality of pitcher.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This, moving forward now, is really probably the best time to judge him. Because what's most important is who's going to be the best pitching coach for young pitchers. Because they're going to have a whole lot of those coming up. Look, I want him to work on Brad Keller, too, right?
No question.
Brady Singer, Chris Bubich, Jackson Kowar. I don't care if you're watching Jonathan Bolin deal 12 or 10 strikeouts last night in five innings. That's going to be the crew. And some, look, truthfully, some managers are better at handling younger players. Some managers are better at handling veteran players. Some pitching coaches are better at handling veteran pitchers. Some pitching coaches are better at handling young pitchers. I just want to make sure young pitchers get better under Cal Eldred. And in the early going, it depends on how you look at it. If you're saying it's Brad Keller, well, this year's not a tremendous example of that, but he's been a model of consistency to that point. And it's just like, it's something I am officially starting to watch.
Okay, no, that's
I'm not
fine.
Saying
if you
like,
watch
hey,
it, I
let's,
just think
let's figure it out. Like, you know, no, it's something
162 game schedule. It's been a bad week.
And it's not about the four games. It's not about that. If you'd asked me this a week ago about Cal Eldred, I'd have probably said
really?
The same thing. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take you at your word at that. Then.
1,000%. Okay. So it's, and look, I'd question it. Look, if I got to go back and find tape of me questioning it in 2018, I will. Like, this is a long-term thing, probably,
sure,
but I think it's
sure.
worth monitoring.
Sure.
I don't know why you'd call me a liar. I don't know why it's got to be like
sure,
that.
Sure, we believe you.
Yep.
That mm-hmm. doesn't sound like someone who believes me.
No, we're all on the same page, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. I see how this is. Look, I'm just gonna say that I have said this before. I'm not going to go back and prove it because I don't have to prove myself to you.
So we will keep an eye on that. Cody's got him on the watch list at this point in time, moving forward.
I just want to see if young pitchers get better under him. I don't think that's an unreasonable claim.
I mean, I certainly hope that's
the case. If a guy wasn't hitting for 4 years, let's not even say the hitting coach, would you be worried about him in your lineup? For four consecutive years, the production? If for four consecutive years, someone ranked in the bottom 7% of offensive players in baseball, would you have something to say? Like, that's the situation we're talking about.
I mean, I think that's oversimplified. I would love to know who is that. Is that someone that's a prospect that's grown up in your organization? Was that a free agent acquisition that's gotten worse? I mean, there's more to the story than just in all these scenarios. So we'll keep an eye. Like, it's been, everybody's frustrated. It's been a bad week. I know you're saying, you said it before, and I know we're joking about it. I believe you, obviously. But like, I think so much of it, like, just this is why, like a week ago when people were talking about, no, man, this is going to be a playoff team. I hope they absolutely are. I don't think this week or last week or the month of it, like, none of that should have swayed you one way or the other. This is why you kind of have to like step back a second. Remember where this team was heading into the season, what we thought they would be. That's why I'm not panicking, because I didn't think they were the best team in baseball, which is what they were prior to the last week of the season.
But there are big picture things to monitor sometimes in baseball to like recognize the issue before. I used to complain about the way the Royals taught hitting in the minor leagues. I didn't like the way they taught hitting in the minor leagues because I thought it produced fine numbers in the minor leagues, but when they got to the big leagues, it didn't produce action. Well, the Royals have completely revamped their hitting. They have decided that they had to get with the times, right? Time to not teach backspin creates down drag that throws the ball over the fence and instead lift, right? So like those things change over time. And again, I would say it would be premature if someone's like, hey, look, if you wanted to get rid of Cal tomorrow, I'd be like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not there. I'm just saying officially, I feel like I need to watch to see what pitchers do what and how they help with the usage, because he's in part of those conversations with the bullpen too. And the quality of pitcher question, Gold, isn't going to be there much longer, right? Like, he's got plenty of good young arms now, and they still rank 20, like, not in the bullpen necessarily, although, you know, I'd argue Brenton Staumont and Barlow are good enough young arms, but still there. By the way, Mike Matheny talked this morning.
Yeah.
He said the balk call last night for Brady Singer was, in fact, correct.
Yeah.
Which I told you earlier, I thought it was a balk.
Yeah,
but that does not change
everything
that led up to that.
Yeah, there was more to the story with the Angel Hernandez situation. It goes from the night before and that guess of a call with the video board and him not being able to see, and then the hit by the pitch and all that. We'll talk some more Royals baseball coming up to start the 11 o'clock hour as well, in a take that was thrown out there yesterday that just seems unbelievable, actually. When it comes to the Royals. But the other day, here on 610 Sports Radio, not only did we have Noah Gray, the Chiefs' fifth-round rookie tight end, but also Nick Bolton was on with The Drive. Creed Humphrey was on with Fesco in the morning. And, you know, I like the pick there in the second round of Creed Humphrey. It shores up, I think, the center position for a long time here in Kansas City. You don't have to mess with it. This was what Creed Humphrey had to say on Fesco in the morning about also what the Chiefs are getting in a fellow Oklahoma Sooner with their trade with the Baltimore Ravens in Orlando Brown.
I think Kansas City is getting probably the nastiest offensive line player in the league right now. He's just a dog on the field and off the field. He plays with that mentality that not too many people have. So Yeah, Kansas City's getting a really good one with him.
I got excited when I heard that yesterday when he was talking, or 2 days ago when he was talking with Fesco in the morning.
Made you think of Simile in the early part of the season.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, didn't you go there too? Like, wasn't that your reaction when you heard him talking about that right there? Because the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season last year, unfortunately before Simile got hurt, that was like the big story. Oh, man, Simile is bringing something different to the table, this attitude. They really haven't had it on the O-line before, and we were all fired up, and then he gets hurt. What you just heard from Creed Humphrey is kind of sounds like Orlando Brown Jr. might bring that kind of nastiness to the table, which we know the whole offensive line is going to be revamped, and they've done a great job attacking that problem and going not overboard, I mean, but just attacking the hell out of it. If Orlando Brown brings that to the table, that's just another added addition. Is this going to be a much more physical offensive line than maybe we've seen? Does that help? Not that I want them to run the ball more, but does that when they need to get some movement on the defensive line to be able to, in a short yardage situation near the goal line, is there going to be some more opportunities there? Osimile was the guy that was nasty and was able to move. Orlando Brown is hopefully going to be healthier than Osimile ever was, but Orlando Brown Jr., if he brings that to the table, that's got to be exciting.
I think sometimes the Chiefs offense and other offenses like them get accused of being soft because, you know, they're gimmicky, they're soft because they don't get pushed around. And then that's essentially what the Bucs' entire defense came out and said after the Super Bowl, right? Oh, we knew they were a paper tiger and they were soft and we just shoved them around. They wouldn't get moved. I'm like, well, then why does everybody else lose to them all the time? So I think there's a little bit of an overkill on the soft thing. But yeah, they could use an offensive lineman who had a little bit of grit. You know, like, and I'm not saying Fisher wasn't a good offensive lineman, but they've had a lot of finesse guys, right? Technically sound guys. Even Mitchell Schwartz, who was on the station last week for a full hour.
Yeah.
I think he was doing a self-scouting report like 2 weeks ago himself on Twitter. And he's like, probably not the strongest, probably not the most athletic, but technically, boy, was I on point, right? Like, I did all the little things right, which meant I didn't get in trouble. Like, Brown seems like the kind of guy who might do something wrong occasionally, but might just physically shove you to the ground in order to do it. And honestly, they don't have a lot of guys like that on the offensive line, or at least they haven't. You hope you have something like that in Creed Humphreys, and you certainly seem to have that in Orlando Brown, at least according to Creed Humphreys, but most scouting reports will tell you that too. Yes, they could use that kind of offensive lineman.
Yeah, I mean, I think Creed Humphrey and the camp battle he's going to have, although when you draft him where he did, I sure hope he's the week one center, but Austin Blythe's in the mix. They have 10 guys that it's going to be actually a fun training camp in terms of battles. Yeah. Now we know who the left tackle is, you know who the left guard is, but center's open, right guard's open, right tackle's an open competition, but not in the sense that, oh, there's competition because they don't have a solution, but no, because they have a lot of options now.
Ex-wide receiver's probably open.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, yeah. That could be between Pringle and DeMarcus Robinson and I don't know, whoever else they bring in. Probably not that guy they brought in yesterday, but whatever.
Yeah, and then there's the linebacking core, which we'll get to the other addition yesterday and Kamale Correa, but also we know Nick Bolton was drafted in the second round out of Missouri. He joined CDOT and was talking about his time at Missouri, too, because that's a guy that's gone through some coaching changes. Now there's stability here in Kansas City, but he had the two different coaches there at Mizzou.
It wasn't hard at all. Coach Owen was a heck of a coach, along with Coach Jenkins as well. Both those guys came in with a plan. When they envision, and then it's just our job to carry it out. So both those coaches did a great job. I love playing for both of those. Both of them are great for our institution. So I just had the opportunity to play for both. Both coaches were the same, or both coaches were different with their mindsets, but I had the same DC both my years of starting. So Coach Walter did a hell of a job for us, set up a game plan for us that would be successful. So it wasn't really much of a change for me. I had the same DC, but both coaches did a great job.
That's what made what he was able to accomplish at Missouri.
It's like
as
a compliment
being
to both Nick Bolton and Eli.
Yeah, no, it's a compliment to the coaches, but I think if you're wondering what kind of player you're getting, just based on him being one of the best defensive players in the country, frankly, and certainly linebacker, that he did it with transition during the time. Like that can sometimes go the opposite direction. Like he was able to be effective and he had to go through two different coaches. He was recruited by a different coach and ultimately ended his career with Eli Drinkwitz. Like I like the fact that he was able to adjust and adapt, and clearly because of his talent, it didn't matter that they changed coaches. He was still able to be one of the best defensive players in the country.
I was a little surprised he admitted he'd never been to Shakespeare's Pizza.
In Columbia?
Because he went to MU!
I've been to Columbia once, and
that's saying you live in Kansas City and you've never been to like Gates or Joe's.
I think CDOT was shook by that. Even
he's like, I'm a Domino's guy. I think that was his response.
He said he's a Domino's
like
and
Papa John's
guy.
Or Domino's guy.
Yeah, that was
football and Domino's, baby.
That was surprising. Yeah, I've been to Shakespeare's and I've been to CJ's Wings there in Columbia.
Is there a famous place in Kansas City that you've never been to?
Ooh.
Like the one that's like, you know, like one of those, you know, 10 or 15 restaurants.
I've been to like every barbecue place, obviously. So that's not, because normally if there's a major barbecue chain and someone's grown up here, I would be stunned.
Have you been to Slaps?
I have, yeah. Okay. No, when it comes to barbecue, I've got that. We've talked about some of the taco places that I don't know if you would put them in that category that I hadn't been to, although I went to a few the other last week.
Have you been to like
few?
Pierpont's? Would that be it? Yeah. I don't know. Like what are famous Kansas City restaurants?
Antonio's and
San Antonio Market?
Yes. Okay. And the one right across the street, drawing a blank, El Pollo, Pollo Ray.
Oh, you finally hit up El Pollo Ray.
I told you I was going to do it.
Did it disappoint?
First of all, it smelled incredible just in the parking lot.
Mm, sure.
The smell was fantastic.
I've never eaten at Capitol Grill.
But that's not, I wouldn't say
that's still kind of like, it's not necessarily Kansas City specific.
And that's
different.
That's a high-end restaurant. That's a little bit different. Like Shakespeare's Pizza, just casual pizza in Columbia. And he hadn't gone there. And he went to Mizzou.
Yeah, that does seem
That's like odd. Going to KU and not going to Jefferson's and having the
or
wings.
The bowl?
What's that?
He likes what he likes. I dig it. He's no nonsense. All right? Just give me Domino's and I'm good.
I feel like in Kansas City, it would just be the barbecue and taco places. Like, if you haven't been to a number of the places off of the boulevard for Mexican food, then you're missing out. If you haven't been to a number of the barbecue places, then you're missing out.
If we're, like, stretching it out further, this one's probably, a lot of people probably haven't, like, Jess and Jim's, like, Steakhouse in Martin City, I would put that on the list. If you
grew
up here.
I've never been there.
Oh, okay.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I've never been.
Yeah.
I haven't been there either.
Okay. Well, see, there you go. That's
Does that make us weird? 913-576-7616.
That's why I said that one I'm stretching out a little bit. To me, it's been around long enough that I would have thought you've been there, but it's not top of mind for people.
I don't want to drive to Martin City unless I have to.
Well, you can Martin for City the Steakhouse.
Brewery's pretty good there, too.
Yeah, and I enjoy their beer, but I don't want to drive all the way to the brewery.
I just feel like there's always some place you almost half don't want to admit.
Someone says they're born and raised in KC. They're too afraid to step foot into gates. They don't want to get yelled at when they walk in.
Just come in with a plan, man.
You just know what you're getting. Look at the menu a little bit
just
online.
Just come with a plan.
Be confident.
I will say I got to go to gates with someone else.
Seriously?
Yeah, I don't go there really? By myself.
Like, you make them order or what?
No, I'll order myself. I just...
Are you
I
like, hey, like, you go
I,
first?
I feel like I need, like, reassurance in the line. Like, I just need somebody else there with me.
Someone said, have I ever been to Dixon's Famous Chili? I have not, but you said you had been.
No, I have not been to
Dixon's. Oh, I thought you had
been. No. I
have
not.
It was Ryan that was talking about it.
No, I haven't. We were talking about chili.
Ryan, it was
we were
Ryan
talking about chili like a week or two ago.
Yeah. Okay. Stroud's, that's another good one.
Been to Stroud's,
like,
yep.
You live in KC, you've probably eaten Stroud's, right, Serta? At some point in your life?
Yeah. Sad news with that way. A few days ago, the founder of Stroud's passed away, I believe. Like a day or two ago. Yeah. No, Stroud's is a good answer,
or
though.
Fritz's?
Yeah, I mean, I've been there. That's, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I feel like that's the equivalent to Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's like one of those like Kansas City staples that have just been around forever.
I feel like the Shakespeare's is even worse though, as far as this, because it's a college town and you played college football there for 4 years.
Well, that's fair enough.
Well, I was surprised.
I was a little surprised by that.
Well, I sort of said it. You like what you like.
He's a Papa John's Domino's guy. Just let him live his life, I guess. I was just surprised. That's all. I assume you've eaten at all of the like famed places of Lawrence, Kansas.
That's what I was saying, Jeff. Like, if you went to KU and you didn't have Jefferson's, they'd be like, "What on earth are you talking about?"
Now you can have that here.
It is weird that Domino's is like his go-to. I'm a Pizza Hut guy. If I go with chain,
I haven't
pizza.
Had Ooh, national pizza. Pizza. I haven't had national chain pizza in a.
If we're saying
long
chain
time.
Pizza, I agree. I typically go
Pizza Hut. Hand toss, way to go.
Yeah, that's probably if I'm getting
thin and crispy.
Because I ordered from like Minsky's the other day. I tend to try to go with some of the local joints, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't need... There's too many good pizza places, especially now in Kansas City, whether, Old Shawnee
Pizza or
Minsky's,
whatever.
Sometimes,
though, you need that
Minsky's,
pizza there quick, and they got that $5.99 carryout special, and you're just
cheap.
About that life.
Like,
yes.
Yeah, if I'm eating with multiple people, we're getting Pizza Hut, because it's going to cost us like $20 for two pizzas.
Pizza shuttle. Just get some cheap pizza shuttle.
Never had that.
Thinking of college pizza.
That's your version of Shakespeare's.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that Papa Kino's and Pizza Shuttle and Lawrence were the two, for sure.
Now we've learned.
Now we're hungry. Thank you. It's almost lunchtime, so we're setting y'all up. We're teeing y'all up for some lunch here in just a little bit. All right, let's head into the 11 o'clock hour. We'll get to the trash of the day when we get there, and also something that some people actually think should happen when it comes to the Royals, positionally. We'll explain it next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.